Amen. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be a child of the Lord, and our Heavenly Father, He has our future in His hands. We look at the world today, and it doesn't look like things are going right, but everything's going according to God's plan. And He's in control of all things. I'd like for us today, we'll look at... I want to talk to you about the will of God, understanding the will of God. And I'd like to begin, first of all, going back to the book of Genesis. Just before Christmas, we were talking about the matter of the Lord with the heart of man and the mind. And today, that's what I want us to look at, is the will of God. How does God work in our life whereby that you and I can be what God would have us to be? We see in the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, we know that Adam was created in the image of God. It says that in verse number 26 of Genesis 1. It said, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and any the fowl of the air, the cattle, and everything that creepeth upon the earth." As we think about creation and mankind, and He said, let them, by the way, it's going to be a plurality of mankind. Of course, He made Eve from the rib of Adam, and mankind began. But we find in this that the creation of man, that man was created in the image of God, in His likeness. And what could we say about that? God has a mind to think with. God has a heart to love with. And God has a will. Now, we see this in the creation of Adam, and that's what I want us to consider today, the will of God. In God's will, He created mankind, and He created the universe, the things that you and I see. And He goes on further to allow Adam, this created being in the likeness of God, to name the animals and see what He would call them. It goes on to say there in chapter 19, in the ground, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what He would call them. I want you to think with me just a moment in our spiritual imagination. God created man, and He created all of the life, animal life, birds, everything. And now God allows Adam to name these animals, all of God's creation. And He has the ability to do that. Whatever God called this particular beast, that was the name. This is a cow. This is a horse. This is a what? Think with me just a moment. As a parent or as an adult, maybe not you don't have children, but as an adult, we have a certain realm, if you would, of understanding, or should have, let's put it that way, a certain realm of understanding. And as a responsible parent raising a child, you are authoritative by the Word of God, as especially the man is in this God's creation. Man is over nature and these kind of things. Man is responsible for his home. So again, let's look at the biblical example of a father. He's responsible for the child. He tells the child what to do, and he allows the child privilege to do certain things. And in this, he's demonstrating his love for this child. And he is demonstrating also the ability that when things are right, everything's going well. Same kind of sort of with God. God created Adam. God allowed him to name the different beasts of the field and what have you. And Adam is able to exercise, if you would, his will. He has a will like God. So we could say man has a will, and God allows him to exercise that will. God allows him to name these animals. God allows him to take care of the garden that God has produced. Everything's going well, no curse yet, no thistle, no thorns. And then God says, but of the this one particular matter is that thou art not to take of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now that's the only law, if you want to call it law, a commandment of God that's been given, not to take of the fruit of that tree. Because in the day you do that, you're going to die. You'll surely die. And the Hebrew word for that in term is dying, you will die. Dying, you will die. Dying when you're separated from God. And by the way, we see this looking back, that when Adam, of course, Eve takes of the fruit and she gives to her husband, but Adam is responsible to God. God's working through the man. And he relinquishes that will, if you would. He steps away, and in disobedience, he too takes of the fruit that God said not to. And he has broken the commandment of God, and now he has been separated from God in disobedience, and his will in his likeness of God, now he's broken fellowship with God. He has stepped out of God's will and allowed himself to do what he would at his will. He took the fruit. God said not to do it, he did it. So now fellowship has been broken. He's still Adam, he's still man. The animals still have the same name, but because of the fellowship being broken with God, he's in a different mind altogether, if you say. He's going to die now, many years later. But what we find is that his mind has been blinded to the things of God. When fellowship is broken with God, you're not in the light with God. He's not in the light. Prior to this, God would come in the cool of the day, the scripture says, and he would converse with Adam. But once he broke the commandment of God in disobedience, he hides from God. Think about that. We've all been children. If we haven't had children, we've been children. We have disobeyed our parents, and we didn't look forward to them coming home from work or coming in from wherever they were. We knew what we had done was wrong, and in that matter of knowing, now we have broken fellowship. Relationship's still good. We're still a child of whoever our parents are, but the fellowship has been broken. And in this breaking of the fellowship of God, it comes by the breaking of the will of God. God has a will for all of us. And we see this, and in this matter of the will of God, he would that we would walk in the light of his word. Of course, we have a copy of his word, and the word, of course, Jesus Christ became flesh, and he came to bring light to men who are in darkness. Now, when Adam fell, his mind was blinded to the things of God. Satan did what he wanted in controlling this. See, Satan has been put out, put away from his position as an angelic being. He's still an angel, a fallen angel. And he saw the love that God had for created man, and he destroyed that. Of course, Adam had a will. He didn't have to do what he did. He had a free will. He was not programmed, if you would, as a robot that he would do these things. No, God allowed him in his creation to be like God. And you and I have the same abilities. We have a mind to think with. Adam had a mind. He could name the beast, and whatever they were, he knew that this was that, and again, this was this beast. And he had a mind to think with. He had a heart to love with. You know, you can have a heart and love other people and not be in the will of God. You can love things. People love things. That's one of the things of a lost person is they get their heart and they get their mind stuck on things of the world. And you're trying to convey to them the love of Jesus Christ. You're trying to bring them to the light, and they have set up idols in their life. You cannot love without knowing the Lord. You can love, but you cannot love with a perfect love. You can love things. You can love your job. You can love your spouse. You can do this, but until you know the love of God, until you have fellowship with God and you're walking in the light of His Word, none of this is as He created it. So what we have is man has fallen in the likeness of Adam. He has fallen. We see this in creation. And then we're reminded also in the book of Romans how this occurs. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." In other words, this death, this dying, you will die, has passed upon all of humanity. We're all going to die because of the sin of Adam, which reminds me sometimes people will say or make this foolish statement. Listen, what I do is my business. It has nothing to do with you. Tell me it doesn't. What Adam did was his business. Yes, it was. But what are the repercussions of that? Again, you think about Joshua going in to the land and Achan taking what he should not have. And he could have said, well, you know, what I did was my business. God had said, don't take anything. And he did. And as a result of that, 36 people lost their life. How many people lose their lives in and every day because someone says, well, it's my business what I consume and how I do this and how I do that, and it has repercussions. What we do does have an effect on others. Now, Adam is not responsible for you and I as sinners, because we see now in the Word of God that we're sinners. We can't blame it on Adam. That's what God's given us. He's given us His Word to show how God created man in His will, how that in man's will, Adam broke the commandment of God in disobedience. And as a result of his disobedience, now judgment has come, and we're all condemned apart from God. But God wants us to have fellowship with Him because God loves mankind. And God wants us to come back and to be in His will and to walk with Him. That's what we find in John chapter 3. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, by believing in Jesus Christ, by allowing ourselves to receive the Word of God and believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, now we can come back into the light. We can be forgiven of our sins as we receive the free gift of eternal life, and we can have fellowship with God. That's what God wants. He didn't say, well, this is it with this race. I'll just start over again. No, He did not. And by the way, the demonstrating the love of God, as we think about God's unconditional love, and that's what true love is, agape. Agape love is unconditional love. You cannot have that kind of love without the love of Christ being in your heart. Because we are, in a sense, we're selfish. I love this and I want that, but it's not self-sacrificing love. It's not, I'm willing to die for that. Some would say, as even he says in the book of Romans, some might say that they would die in the place of another, but what about dying in the place of the enemy? Don't count me in on that. Now, I die for my children. I die for my wife. But the enemy know. You see, we are enemies, or were, prior to salvation. If you're not saved, you're an enemy of God. You cannot fix that relationship. The only way it can be fixed is through Jesus Christ, who loves mankind. And by receiving His sacrifice, understanding that He died on the cross for your sin, and you accepting that, and saying, number one, I'm guilty of sin. and he died for me. And see that if you had been the only person in this world who is a sinner, he would have died for you. And that's the unconditional love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves sinners. That's a fact. The wages of sin is death. We deserve death. We work, we accumulate things, we pour our lives into all types of stuff, and at the end it's of no value. Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So by receiving Christ as Lord and Savior, now one can be saved and have eternal security in that. And then one can continue to take up the will of God and have fellowship with God. I want to go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. You are very familiar with the story where the Lord fed 5,000. That took place at the beginning of this particular chapter. And John writes about this. And you remember how that Christ came. He did miracles. He came into his own, which were the Jews. And the Jewish people are the people of God. And he came to them first. He came to be their Messiah, the anointed of God. He came to deliver them, not from the Roman authority, but he came to deliver them from their sin because they had rebelled against God, had been disobedient to God, and Christ came to bring salvation to the Jew first, as the Apostle Paul often preached. He was a Jew, and even after his conversion, he would go to the Jews first, even after being called to be the apostle to the Gentile. Why did he do that? Because his heart was broken for his people. And folks, you know sometimes the hardest to win are your own people. They know you best. They ridicule Paul, but Paul said that he would rather be put away from God for eternity for his own people. That's how much he loved his people. But God did not do that. He could not do that. But Jesus did that. Jesus, being God, took upon himself the form of a man, not a sinner, but died in our place as a sinner and took our sins upon himself. Now, he's in John 6, he has fed 5,000 people. Miracles. He's done more than one. He's demonstrated himself as the authoritative Son of God, and they have rejected him. They've rejected his authority. And again, this is what happens in a lot of cases today. Mankind says, I'm doing okay. I don't need the Lord. Matter of fact, I don't believe there's a God, but whenever something goes wrong, they curse the God that they don't believe. It's his fault. Well, I thought you didn't believe in God. You know better. There is a God. So God sends his son. His son now has done miracles. And by the way, that's what the Jewish people look for, were signs. What are the signs of this that we would know that you are the Messiah? Well, he's fed 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and a handful of fish. He's touched the blind eyes they've opened. They've seen. He's raised as of yet he'll raise Lazarus, but he's raised those who are lame and they're walking, and they want more signs. And in John chapter 6, we begin in John 6 verse 35. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life." Now he has fed 5,000 people. They've gone away, and he's gone away, by the way. They left from the area where he was, and he sent the disciples across the Sea of Galilee because they hadn't really gotten the full ramification of the spiritual miracle that he did. They saw the feeding of the 5,000, but they weren't getting it as they should. And Matthew says he constrained them to go away. In other words, he said, get in the boat and go to the other side. Get in the boat and go now. And they make their way across, and you know the story, the Lord catches up with them by night. And they realize who the Lord is. And now he's back over at Capernaum, and the crowd that he fed, they look and say, Where's the Lord? We saw the disciples leave, and we counted the boats, and they're all here, and he's gone. Yeah, he walked. So they go around to the other side and they catch up with him. And now Jesus begins to talk to them. He says in verse 35 there, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Think about that. You took in the physical food, but now we're going to get down to the spiritual details. Folks, that's what we need to do to get back into the understanding of who God is. Many people want to come for the social things of the Lord, but when it comes down to the preaching of the word, oh, well, that's hard saying. That's what they said. He said, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He's the bread and he's the water. He's our everything. Spiritually speaking, he's everything. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. See, he's omniscient. He knows everything. Verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. See, God has a will. And his will was for his Son to be willing to come to this earth. And he surrendered his will to the will of the Father, and he willingly came into this earth. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Now they had seen the Son. They saw him distribute the bread. I had given it to the disciples, and they distributed it among the people that were fed. They've seen Jesus, yet they've rejected the Son. The thing about it is, Christ came, of course, to demonstrate his authority as the Son of God, to die on the cross, but believing him is what's important here. He that sees the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Look further, if you would, over in John chapter 6 and verse number 60. It says, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? You see what I'm saying? We like the food, we love the miracles, but when you're talking about spiritual things, oh, I'm not certain about that. You're saying that all people are sinners. Yes, that's what the Scripture says. I'm not saying that. I'm telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says if you die in your sins, you'll be separated from God for eternity. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. That's hard to understand. Faith is not understanding. Faith, believing in something that you can't see, is not something that you can sit down and reason out. Oh, if you could prove to me that this is a fact, then I'll believe. No, you would not. Because if I can convince you by fact, someone else will come along and convince you by something else. See, the facts a lot of times change, don't they? But the truth never changes. So Jesus came to demonstrate the will of the Father. He came to be seen of mankind, and he came to bring eternal life. Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, talking about what he said, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? What if you see him ascend back to heaven where he came from, he says. Verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Now, this flesh that you and I have, we're talking about the human nature, it profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. See, the Word of God that we have, and of course the Word that Christ was speaking, brings life. And it brings light. They are darkness. Their will is against the will of God. He chose to break God's law in disobedience. He chose to do what he wanted to do rather than what God had told him not to do. And now we find that this fellowship's broken. He comes in the cool of the day, and Adam hides himself. And God says, Adam, where art thou? Well, he's hiding. Why? Because he sinned. You're rejecting the light. That's what we see in the world today. We see people who reject the truth of talking about eternal life or rejecting the matter of facing God one day. They say, I don't believe that. They choose to believe a lie and remain in darkness. But Christ came to bring the word of God. He said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He goes on to say in verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed and who should betray him. In other words, he came and all of them saw him, but they didn't receive his word. In other words, their will was their business. I have the will to believe that he's the Son of God. I have the will to reject him as the Son of God. That's with every person. You say, well, what about the unborn baby or those that are very young or those that are handicapped with a disability of the mind? What about that? Don't worry about that. God's fair. Let's put it that way. God's going to do what's right. But those who can understand and those who reject the things of God, by the way, those who do that are going to be judged by their works. What kind of works have they done? That's what's going to be the judgment for the unbeliever, is the works that they have done. So therefore, what about a small child? God will take care of that. But he said, Jesus knew from the beginning who would. If someone wants to blame the Lord, said, well, if he knows whether I'll be saved or not, what do I have to do with that? Everything. He knows whether you'll reject him or not. He knows because he's omniscient, but his love hasn't changed. So what do we need to do with that? We need to understand who he is, what he did, and surrender our will to the will of the Lord and to the Father, and to receive him to become saved. And this is what he goes on to say in verse 65. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now the Father has given, again, the Son. He's given the Word. We have the Word of God. He's given the Spirit of God that's working in the world today. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is convicting men today of sin, of righteousness, of what's right, and judgment to come. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's doing at this very hour. The Holy Spirit is working as the light goes out into the world. The Holy Spirit is bringing conviction upon those in darkness. He has a way of working. And what he's doing is he's warning mankind to see that he's condemned. For God sent not his Son into the world, John 3:17, to condemn the world. Why? Because the world's already under condemnation. He didn't come to this world to condemn. He came to save. And now we have this Word of God that tells what he did for us. And by believing in him, we can have eternal life and become saved. And when we do that, our will, we're surrendering our will, our, if you would, free will, our way of saying, okay, I'm not going to live my life the way I want it. I'm going to surrender my life to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and I'm going to live my life the way that he wants me to live. And that's sometimes a big question. Well, how does he want me to live? Well, what he wants you to do is come to him in obedience to begin with. We come to him in obedience and we receive him as Lord and Savior. We say, I believe you died for my sins. I believe that you are the Son of God. And by receiving the free gift of eternal life, now we have a relationship with God, being born again of the Spirit of God, and we are put into the family of God, and now we have a relationship, and then we have fellowship. And we walk in the light of the Word of God, and He leads us in His will. God has a will for each and every person's life. Now, when we join God in fellowship, of course, we begin to see the will of God for our life as we begin by salvation. That would be the first step. John, again, who wrote this Gospel of John, I'd like to read what he had written later in his life in 1 John chapter number 1, talking about the matter of fellowship and what Jesus Christ came to do and did. In John chapter, 1 John rather, chapter 1 and verse number 1, John goes back and he talks about Christ and who He is and what He did. He said, "That which was from the beginning," and this is from creation forward, "which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes." John was a first-hand witness, an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ, "which we have looked upon," and he says, "our hands have handled of the word of life." John was, he was the beloved disciple. He didn't call himself that, but he used that term, the beloved. And we find that John, according to what we see, John was seated next to the Lord that night when he had his final meal with his disciples before being arrested and crucified. And John's leaning, he's touching the Lord. He has seen the Lord. He has heard the Lord. He's handled the word of life. He says in verse 2, "For the life was manifested. It was made known, and we've seen it." He's willing to die for that. You think about that just a moment. You and I are born again by faith in something we haven't seen. But when we trust the Lord Jesus, our faith becomes sight. I don't see a facial recognition, but by faith I know that I'm saved. How do I know that? Because the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. I know that I'm saved. I know that if I die, I'm going to heaven. Somebody puts a gun to my head and said, "You're going to confess Christ or deny Christ, and you confess Him, I'm going to shoot you." I say, "Let's go to glory." Amen? Some say, "Wait a minute, let me think about it." No, I know that when I go, I know where I'm going. I can see Him in His Word. He's been manifested. I've seen it. I bear witness. I show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, John says. "That which we've seen and heard declare we unto you." How can you not declare, as a born-again believer, how can a person not stand up for what's right in the Lord? Well, you can do it. "Oh, I thought you're born again. You're safe. How do you do it?" Well, your relationship's still good, John's saying. But you break fellowship with God. And that's what we need to be aware of. This is why we need to understand the will of God. We come to the Lord in Jesus Christ. We're saved, walking by faith. We have fellowship with God. But we still have the potential, until we leave this sin-cursed world, to sin. We can step aside. Do what we want to do. We still have a free will. Is that will in the will of the Lord? Not when we step aside to darkness. That's what John goes on to say. "These things we write unto you, that your joy may be full." He's telling us who we are, what we can do. Matter of fact, in verse 3 he said, "We declare unto you that ye may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." See, when we're walking in the light of God's Word as a saved, born-again believer, we're having fellowship with God and we're having fellowship with one another. It's a wonderful thing to have fellowship with other believers. See, we come together as a family of God into the house of God, and we have a moment of shaking hands. And by the way, we all have that connectivity found in the Spirit of God. None of us jumped out of bed this morning and said, "Boy, I can't wait to go to church." Wait a minute, we'll get to line in just a minute. What, for some reason, today's Sunday. Time to go to church. But once we get here, the Holy Spirit and the fellowship that we have. And this is what we find. We wrestle against the flesh. We still have this old Adamic nature. as Adam had. He wants to do wrong. But how do we overcome that? In the spirit and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we walk in the light. John goes on to say, verse number 5, "This then is the message which we have heard and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth." In other words, we make a conscious decision every day, all day long. Am I going to walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I going to take a step to the side and just do and what I'd like to do, and then I'll come back? Well, that's not beneficial. We want to walk. He wants us to do that. He said in verse number 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." In other words, if we step aside and we get into the darkness, we need to confess that, "Lord, forgive me for what I did, and I want to have fellowship with you, and I want to be in your will. I cannot have God's will perfected in my life when I'm doing things my way. I have to surrender. I have to confess." If we say we have no sin, verse number 8, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In other words, we cannot say we haven't sinned since we've been saved. If we do, we make him to be a liar. He goes on to say, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So we come to him in the light of his word. We walk by the light of his word. We feed upon his word. Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life." We feed on his word, and his word guides our steps when we permit it. See, we still must surrender afresh, anew, every day. Surrender ourselves to the will of God. "Lord, I'm here. I'm showing up for duty. I'm ready to go where you'd want me to go. I'm ready to walk the path that you would have me to walk." He says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." God has a path for every one of us. And that path is not going to be in darkness. Every step is going to be in light. And when we understand the will of God is to have the best for us, that's what God wants for all of mankind. Will all of mankind come to him? No, they will not. But you have the opportunity. Those of us that have saved, we've had the opportunity. And we praise the Lord for that. Let's go as God has called us now to go into the world and to take that light that others may see the good works and the good news of Jesus Christ in our life and in our heart. See, because this world is in darkness. And yet here's a child of God in fellowship with God, and he's bringing light on the scene wherever he goes. And someone has to do something with that. They can respond to that by maybe asking a question. Why do you have joy when you go through trials? You understand what I'm saying? You sit in the office at a doctor's office, and you're not excited about seeing the doctor because maybe there's some things that's not right. And guess what? Most everyone else in there has a problem. And they ask, "Well, it seems like you got a good attitude." Yeah. How can you do that? Well, I tell you the truth, I can't do it without the power of the Lord. I know he loves me. And I know nothing's going to cross my life or my path of life unless he allows it. And if God allows that to happen, friends, we can't stop it. So he has a will for our life. He has a will for your life. I don't know what you're going through right now, but God does. And he's able to take you through that. He's able to bring you to the other side. He's able to take that, whatever it might be, and use it to bring glory and honor to himself by drawing us closer to him, having us to be closer with him in our relationship through prayer and reading of his word and feasting upon the bread of life. But God cares for you and he loves you. Let's stand together this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer. I don't know again the hearts of anyone in here, but God knows every heart. And he knows where you are today. And he knows what you are in need of. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. If you're struggling today in your life, this Christian walk, you've heard the truth. What we need to do is confess our sin, come back to the light, allow the Word of God and the Spirit of God to empower us as we go forward. And Father, we know there are challenges of every day as we go forward, and we pray, God, the Holy Spirit would equip us and would enlighten us, dear Lord, and would empower us to go forward from this day to be a witness for you and a blessing to others. Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends,